Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is The Rich Eisen Show. Guess who's back?
You believe in miracles? Yes!
It's a big day for us here at The Rich Eisen Show.
Excited.
Yes.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'll tell you what, man.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests, ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. Legendary broadcaster Al Michaels with 1980 Team USA goalie Jim Craig. Plus, your phone calls, NFL latest, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Alrighty. Hi, everybody. How you been? Back here on the Rich Eisen Show studios in Los Angeles, California, after a week off. I'm your humble host, Rich Eisen. Still the best dad ever, despite being cooped up with children over the last week. I'm pleased to say made it through. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Hey!
Good to see you, Mike
Del Tufo.
Good to see you, Rich. How you doing?
And TJ Jefferson, Rich Eisen Show social media grandmaster, clearly spent his week off working on his putting stroke.
You know, I got skills.
Way to dead solid perfect that baby to
Thank
start
you.
Off our show.
Well, I knew you'd talk bad about me if I miss right off the bat.
No. I talk of you. It's just your interpretation of how I do it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Good to see you. Good to see you. Good to see everybody. Back here on Peacock. Back here on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate. Right back here on Sirius XM Channel 211, NBC Sports Audio. Thrilled to be here. We have got, look, I only know one speed, and even though we were off, I'm sitting around. I'm thinking to myself, we're back on the show on Monday. And it's February 22nd, and that date, for me, always sticks out in the sports calendar because it was on this date in 1980 that Team USA beat the Russians. Gold medal game after that, and they win it all. They win it all in the 1980 Olympics in Lake Placid, New York. I was an 11-year-old kid sitting there waiting for the game to play, show up on TV, on tape delay. And I'll never forget it. And so I figured, let's see what we can do to make it special. And we're showing a photograph of one of the goals here. I think it was Mark Johnson scoring with no time left in the end of the first period. And I get goosebumps just even seeing the photographs, just even talking about it. I get goosebumps. So I call up good friend of the program, Al Michaels. Al, you're available sometime this week. The answer was, in a way, and I reached out to Jim Craig, who's been on this program, the goalie who stopped 36 of 39 shots 41 years ago today against the Russians and against the Soviets, the Soviet Union. And he said yes, and we were able to find a time, and I Zoomed with him. And the conversation is going to be aired in the third hour of this show. Please make a note to join us for that. We'll have a compelling listen and watch from between now and then. And it is a dynamite chat. It is just all kinds of awesome. And it is required for all sorts of people who either don't remember it or too young to know about it. And 41 years ago today, the single greatest moment that was voted in the sports century of the 20th century, greatest single sports moment of the 20th century, and it lingers today. And that's coming up in hour number three. Al Michaels was at the mic next to Ken Dryden 41 years ago today. And look at that shot of Al. Look at that. Look at that lid on Al. And there's Ken Dryden, who Al will tell you had never done television before. Look at the television next to Al. Looks like I think I played ColecoVision or Telestar Pong with my brother on such a thing. And the sweaters. I mean, all sorts of great stuff. Great.
And that Coke ripoff tab.
That's right.
Back there.
Al said, Ken Dryden never done television before. Can't wait for you guys to hear this. It was one of those things when I hit leave meeting for all, I just, like, it was one of those moments where you look at your computer and, like, please start to download. Please.
Please let it record.
I think I saw Viggo Mortensen in that picture.
That's right. We had the actor who said he was in the crowd, stands that day, 41 years ago tonight. And we will stroll down a memory lane appropriately for one of the best sports moments, if not the best, ever in the history of this great country. And that's going to be coming up in hour number 3. Adam Schefter will be joining us in about 15 minutes' time. My good old buddy.
Anything happen while we were gone?
Oh, gosh. Did anything happen? Okay, so let's get into this. We knew the best spot for Carson Wentz was Indianapolis. We knew it.
Right.
Yeah. We knew it was the best spot for him outside of Philadelphia was Indianapolis, if not the best spot, including Philadelphia, was Indianapolis because they have a needed quarterback, because the coach is Frank Reich, and Frank Reich was the offensive coordinator for Wentz in Philadelphia in the year in which he had the MVP in his sights, when he also, unfortunately for him, had the goal line in the L.A. Coliseum across town here in his sights against the Rams, decided to go leaping for it head first, even though there's a guy named Aaron Donald out on the field, and Aaron Donald and the rest of the Rams defense that converged on him hit him in the knee, and he suffered a torn knee ligament and was done for the year, and so was his MVP candidacy. But he had the Eagles in position for the one seed, which Nick Foles and the rest of the team did wind up securing in the regular season and used to their benefit in the postseason. Frank Reich was that guy. Okay. Now Frank's in Indianapolis. So Carson Wentz not being the same guy after Reich left to coach the Indianapolis Colts, put two and two together, comes up with number 11 in Indianapolis, although he might not be number 11 in Indianapolis, and we'll hit that later on in the show. But this is also makes sense for Philadelphia. If you want Wentz gone, any team that wants their guy gone does not want that guy in two places, primarily division, secondarily conference. Where's Indianapolis? The AFC. Eagles won't see him but once every 4 years. That's also done. But what normally makes sense doesn't usually happen. Mm-hmm. And when we were in studio here getting ready for the Super Bowl, and I was heading off to Tampa, word was, Wentz is gone. Wentz is going to be gone, and he's going to be gone fast. And it didn't happen. And we had Joe Banner, former Eagles executive, on in this program prior to our break, and he said essentially that when these things slow down, the offer is not to snuff. And as you know, there are other people who said the offer never happened. And either way, we find out what finally caused Howie Roseman and the Eagles to say sold to Indianapolis. And it does not resemble whatsoever at all the Rams-Lions trade for Stafford for Goff. Not even close. Well, number one is that the Eagles did not take a quarterback back, and the Colts basically took on the entirety of the contract that was the albatross for the Eagles. Now is the problem for the Colts, unless Frank Reich can unlock Carson Wentz. A third-round pick this year and a conditional second-round pick next year that becomes a first-rounder if Wentz plays 75% of the snaps this coming year or 70% of the snaps and the Colts make the playoffs. I will say this. Based on what we saw from the Colts last year with Phillip Rivers, based on what we know of the Colts, a run-oriented team with a stout offensive line up front and weapons at the wide receiver spot that, in my mind, exceeds the current wide receiver spot in Philadelphia, Not just this year, but I think the year before too. I think that's going to be a first round pick that the Eagles get for Wentz. Because I like Carson Wentz in Indianapolis. I like it. I like it a lot. I like the fact that he's in a new spot. I like the fact that he's comfortable with the coach. I like the fact that the coach is comfortable for him. I like the fact that Wentz clearly needs to be told, we love you. This is obvious, as Adam Schefter is going to join us later on, and he's going to repeat what he told to a local radio station in Philadelphia, that Wentz and Doug Peterson did not speak for 8, 9, or 10 weeks. Now, you could easily do the math. It's a 17-week regular season. And he was only benched for a month of it. So there was at least another month in which they were not talking. And Wentz clearly needs to be told, we love you. You are wanted here. And what says we want you here more than the acquisition via trade, as the Colts just did. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing to me what happens in the NFL. This narrative generating machine, as I always like to call it. And I always like to, you know, do origin stories and Genesis stories, which is going to be the basis of a new podcast that I'm doing with Westwood One called Just Getting Started, which I am promoting in a way by dropping it right here.
Holler.
Well, as you know me, there's an I in Rich and Eisen, and if not me, who, and if not now, when. But that's going to be launching in early March. And I just love how dominoes fall and how things work out. Would Wentz still be on the Eagles if Josh McDaniels didn't flake on the Colts?
That's funny.
If McDaniels didn't flake on the Colts, then Reich doesn't get the job in Indianapolis, and maybe Wentz comes back from his knee injury and feels more confident and has a better season. Right? The Bucs this year just won it all. Spoiler alert. We've got their general manager, Jason Light, on tomorrow's show.
I still can't believe they won.
Correct. They went on a
you
run.
You can't believe it.
Now, what's going to happen to this Bucs team and the players that either are going to stay or leave, and those who stay, will they be champions again, to use a phrase from my alma mater? Will that all work out because they didn't lose either one of their coordinators, which usually happens to a Super Bowl team? Would Carson Wentz and the Eagles still be together? Because if we're saying this is a perfect marriage in Indianapolis, and I am saying that this is a good mix. I mean, like, it's a good roll of the dice here for Chris Ballard, who is your general manager there in Indianapolis. And because what are the alternatives at this spot? You want to run it back from 2019 with Jacoby Brissett? Do you want to run it back with your own fresh rookie starter? You want to do that? Or do you want to go roll the dice on somebody who's still young with a tremendous upside that your coach says, I got this? And what, it's just a couple years of a ton of freight salary cap-wise. Because if it doesn't work out in the next 2 years, you could just say it cost us a 3-1, but we made the playoffs that year, or a 3-2, and then you're saying that's done. Makes sense from Indianapolis. Makes, to me, makes a sensible point. But if you're saying that this is a perfect marriage, I just wonder, what if Josh McDaniels said, I'm coming? What would everything look like right
now?
Does
Andrew Luck still retire?
What is happening to all these franchises? And that one moment where we're like, oh, he just wants to stay in New England after all. We'll see how that works out. And just
he talked to Bill and then...
That one decision. How has that affected so much?
Yeah. Wow.
You figure if Peterson gets fired, Reich takes over in Philly, Wentz still stays in Philly, maybe.
I don't know. And then obviously... I don't want to also take another leap. I don't know if Philip doesn't go. I don't know.
Right.
But I don't want to take another leap here because when you're talking McDaniels in New England, whether he's there and whether he's not, Brady does have to come into the equation. I don't know how that would, and that this all cascaded in a way that we don't know otherwise.
You mean like, does Tom go to the Colts?
I don't know.
I'm not saying does Tom ever leave?
And that's a totally unfair just assumption. But I'm just throwing ripples in the pond just as food for thought. Because that's what I thought when I heard, well, Frank's got Wentz in Indianapolis, which if I had strolled up to you that night, Chris, in the 3-degree weather as we were leaving U.S. Bank in Minnesota after watching your Patriots lose to the Eagles, if I had told you as we were strolling out, you would probably have thought I was frostbitten in my head. Hey, Reich is going to be coaching the Colts with Wentz in 2021.
Jeez.
3 years from now.
Yeah, right.
And Doug Peterson will be gone. And Josh McDaniels is going to take the job in a couple months, but leave. And Reich's going to take that job. Like, honestly, you can't make it up. So I want to talk about this with Adam Schefter. Also with Adam, the comments by Steelers general manager Kevin Colbert over our break about Big Ben's future, where he would only essentially allow that Big Ben is a breathing human being currently on the roster in Pittsburgh. And outside of that, we can't really talk about what the next steps are, really. That was the only admission. Yeah, Big Ben is still a breathing, living human being, and he's under contract to us. So I want to ask that of Adam Schefter. What is the latest on Deshaun Watson? And then with Jason Light on tomorrow, the Bucs general manager, what is his to-do list? I kind of will use Adam to help me prepare for that interview. And then again, Jim Craig, Al Michaels, hour number 3. And also later on this hour, I proffered to say this, and I said this to you over the weekend, Chris. One of the greatest drops in the history of our show has been created.
That's what you said.
It happened on Friday night in the Zoom that I hosted for the Arians Family Foundation charity fundraiser and Super Bowl celebration with Bruce Arians.
What are you smoking, bro? Give me something.
I'm not at all off on this, okay? It's amazing. We'll play that later this hour.
You talking playoffs or what?
Just you wait.
Those are some good ones.
844-204-RICH is also the number. Don, we miss talking to you. When we come back, Adam Schefter will join us here on the Rich Eisen Show with the latest in all that we just laid out on the table for you. Back from vacation, people. I'm rested and highly caffeinated.
Let's go.
Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep. Because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
We are back here on The Rich Eisen Show with our radio affiliates. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We appreciate everybody here on this very exciting Monday. So we've got a great conversation in store for you in hour number 3. Al Michaels and Jim Craig. And just a little taste, just to promote that in hour 3, these guys are going to be joining us. Here's a little taste of Al and Jim Craig here on the 41st anniversary of the Miracle on Ice.
I looked at it in all honesty that if you played one period against the Russians, it was equivalent to a whole game against any other team. And so I broke the game into three separate games of 4 or 5 minute periods. And so I could concentrate and be really laser focused, and then broke the game into, like, you can't let them score in the third period because that was the most important momentum wise. And so when I did that, the game moved along faster and it was easier to prepare.
And again, I got a call from Al Michaels when this conversation was done to say that Jim Craig told stories he'd never heard before. That's all I can say. That's hour three. And as soon as I heard we were back on the air on Monday with this, and I was like, you know, we got to kick it up a notch. So my great friend from the Worldwide Leader in Sports with the latest on the National Football League and so much more, Adam Schefter. How are you, Adam?
Hello, Rich. First of all, happy 41st anniversary to you, to Jim Craig, to Al Michaels.
Right.
I obviously can remember exactly where I was when all that transpired.
Where were you?
I was in the basement of my house in Belmore, New York.
Yeah.
And it was a Friday. And obviously, if you remember back then, the game was on tape delay.
That's right.
Social media didn't exist. And so the result had come in, but you didn't know exactly what happened. And ABC, or I think it was ABC,
was
saving the game to play it later. And what people forget is that wasn't the gold medal game. The gold medal game was Sunday against Finland, I believe.
Yes, that's correct. And it's just like everybody thinks the World Series ended when the ball went through Buckner's legs or Tyree had the game-winning
right.
catch in the Super Bowl. These are just big moments that actually didn't win everything. And because you and I have the same childhood, same upbringing, Adam, I was in the basement in Staten Island, New York, of my parents' house.
Yeah.
And my brother, my older brother, knowing it was tape delayed, we turned off all the traffic and weather together radios that my parents always listened to in the house to make sure we did not have the result spoiled because it was tape delayed.
Yeah, no, it was an incredible time. Again, I mean, I could see my surroundings. I could see that dark, dank basement that I was in, the old beaten up TV that I watched it on. I was just incredible. It was a lifelong memory to see what transpired that weekend in Lake Placid, and just incredible. I really remember all of it. And obviously, like so many people, we were all mesmerized and fixated by so much that came out, all the books and shows and documentaries. And it's one of those things you can never get enough of. So good for you for getting them on. I also should mention, Rich.
Yes, sir.
That every quarter I get a quarterly royalty check for my unbelievable appearance in The Longest Yard, the movie. It's like $3.33.
Yes, sir.
Comes in every quarter, and I always look forward to my royalty checks to saving my bank account, my piggy bank here.
You've got to Instagram out the next one, Adam. Just do it. Just when you get one of them, just lay it on me,
every time I get it, I'm like, okay, here's my check for $2.41, and I wonder what Adam Sandler's royalty check.
Dude, I think the same thing whenever I open a CSI Miami for 5 cents. Like, what does David Caruso make? I mean, he only made 3,000 of them. Unbelievable. Oh, man. Thanks. Well, look, bud, I know you're a busy man all the time. So when you call in February when it's a quiet time, I appreciate it. Although it's never a quiet time, obviously, in the NFL.
No, we appreciate the quiet times, Rich. And this seemingly seems to be one, but that can change in a moment's notice in this league. So we'll see.
Well, let's hit on some things that happened last week while I was off, and you know, your comment that I think you made on a radio appearance over the weekend in Philadelphia certainly leapt out at me, where you said that Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz did not speak for anywhere of a period of time of from 8 weeks to 10 weeks. That's the case between those two guys.
Multiple weeks. Again. They communicated, they texted, but I don't think they spoke for a period of time. At least that's how it was relayed to me, right? We are only as good as what we've been told. So
sure.
Somebody told that to me, right? I don't know where they got it from, but look, there was everybody can dress it up however they want and say that everybody was fine with each other. But the truth of the matter is they weren't fine with each other. They just weren't. It just was not a normal relationship the way you'd want your head coach and quarterback to have their relationship. It's the way it is, right? And by the way, Doug Peterson's not there anymore. Carson Wentz isn't there anymore. And it's really remarkable to think that a team and an organization that has had as much success as the Eagles have had in recent years, winning a Super Bowl, winning a division, going to the playoffs, almost getting back to another NFC Championship game. And now, like, these parts have been discarded and just thrown about, and they've moved on from so many of them. It's really incredible how quickly it's all come apart for an organization that has been and has had as much success as the Eagles have had.
So again, I'm wondering where the tension came from, or what is the basis of the tension between Peterson and Wentz. And, you know, discussing it now, I know, you know, the Eagles will say over and over again, as is their right and usually a team's want, that they're turning the page. But the fact that a page needed to be turned at all for a team that's just a couple of years, 3 years removed from winning the Super Bowl. So because the number of times that Peterson took the slings and arrows, standing up in front of the media to say it's still Wentz's job, when Wentz was clearly I guess the best way to put it was off kilter, and the, I guess, less generous way to put it was disintegrating. Where did that come from, the basis of the tension, best you can tell, Adam?
Rich, I think it's a compilation of a number of factors. I think it's hard to know the exact origins, but I would say that I don't know that the selection of Jalen Hurts helped the situation. And it certainly seemed like Carson didn't react to that favorably. And it seems like it was reflected in his level of confidence and in his performance. Now, it's hard for me to imagine that it's just that. Like, how could that be?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But so I'm sure there are many layers to this, many layers, of which I'm not smart enough to know all of them. I just know that they existed. And everybody who watched them knows that there were things there, right? So I don't know that we'll ever get the full truth on that, because I think everybody does want to just move on and go their own way. But there were issues. Carson came apart. It's why they were willing to unload him, and why his value obviously was not what it would have been when, if they had ever wanted to move on to him, which who would have thought that ever would have been the case when he was competing for an NFL MVP award. Like, the guy went from on top of the NFL world to the Eagles having a shortage of teams interested in him in one of the biggest quarterback buying markets that we'll ever see in an offseason. There was one team that made an offer on him, the Colts.
Adam Schefter here on the Rich Eisen Show. Meanwhile, across state, as you just said, about how remarkable a turnaround or disintegration with Wentz and the Eagles was just over a few years spent. How about across state, Adam, where the Steelers go from 11-0, last remaining undefeated team in 2020, to last week, where the general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Kevin Colbert, essentially would only allow for Big Ben's future or current state, that he's an alive human being who breathes and can fog up a mirror on a contract currently with the Steelers. That was essentially all Colbert would allow, is what it seemed to me. How did you take his comments from last week that there's still miles to go here potentially for Big Ben to continue on with the only franchise he's ever known and won two Super Bowls for?
So strange, because if they want him back, for all that he's done for them and they've done for him, all Kevin Colbert had to say was, he's our quarterback, we've got a lot of work to do, and we'd love to have Ben back. It's amazing, Rich. There are a few things, just general themes, that you could apply to any situation. I can't believe how many times somebody's gotten in front of the media since the season ended and said something that left you scratching your head, like that. Like, what is that? And also, what's amazing to me is, again, the disintegration of the Eagles. Do you think the franchises in, say, Florham Park, New Jersey, or Cleveland, Ohio, or Miami, Florida, would kill for what the Eagles have done recently? Like, and yet in Philadelphia, they want to destroy people. They want people fired. They want the organization overrun. They want to set it on fire. And in Pittsburgh, it's not entirely dissimilar either. Like, they were 11-0. They were rolling. They were as good as any team in football. And because they looked so horrendous down the stretch, okay, well, maybe it's time to move on. Let's get rid of people. And I just think the league is – the noise surrounding the league is louder than it's ever been. The scrutiny of each organization is greater than it's ever been. The hysteria that surrounds each team is more hysterical than it's ever been. And I think that contributes to some of this. Like, do you think and I'm just wondering, I don't know the answer to this, if all this had transpired in Philadelphia 15 years ago, would they have run off Carson Wentz a few years later? Would everybody associated with that Super Bowl win be gone or on the way out? Like, would that have happened? I'm asking you. I don't know.
Let's pull on this a little bit, Adam Schefter. I think the Brady and victory in Tampa, in which every single person who scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl for the first time was a free agent that wasn't on the team the year before. I think everybody's saying, well, if we make the right moves, we could be 2, 3, 4 moves away from going from 500 or barely being 500 to winning it all. And that's why I think that people are maybe willing to throw the baby out with the bathwater quicker in a league that's already known for that. It's just that this is Big Ben, though. I mean, this is, you know, he's basically saying, I'll play for nothing. And they're basically like, well, we got to talk about this cap number. And the cap is going to be contracting due to COVID. Maybe put it all together, and that's what you're talking about.
I guess, I love honesty, and I love transparency, and I love people talking to the media. That's great. But I don't understand why Kevin Colbert would say that. Now, maybe he was trying to deliver a message, but I don't see the need to do that. I just don't see the need to do that. It could have been so simple as he's meant so much to this organization, and we need to work together to try to figure this out.
Unless they don't want him.
But I don't think that's the case. So, again, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, it's just one more quarterback log on the quarterback fire that's burning brightly this offseason.
Adam Schefter.
It'll keep your show very warm.
Adam Schefter here on the Rich Eisen Show, and your handheld devices very warm as well. Yes. So, and then, of course, everything we just mentioned, I think, pales in comparison to what's going on with Deshaun Watson. Because we've never seen somebody age 25 sign a big, huge contract like that and then turn around a year later and say, I want out, and there's a new coach and a new general manager coming in. He doesn't even want to talk to them. Where do things stand on that, Adam, as you and I are talking right now?
Yeah, exactly where they've been and exactly where they will be for a little bit of time, which is that the Texans are intent upon not trading him, and he's intent upon not playing for that team again. And so you tell me how that plays out over time and when it reaches a head and when it reaches a crescendo. And I don't know the answer to that. Nobody knows. You know, the Texans could say, hey, we'll sit on you as long as it takes until you come back here. And he could say, I don't really care. I know what I've experienced and I know what I believe about you. I'm not coming back there. Now, we've seen this before with other players, and every player is different. It unfolds different. But we're also living in a different day and age, and I don't know that there's ever been a player as talented as Deshaun in the position he's in that has been willing to go to the mat and go to the distance with the team. So I don't know how that plays itself out. I do know that, in my mind, the first real natural deadline that would come along would be coming up to the draft, because if you are the Texans and you are even open to the idea that you would move on from him, and by the way, they've given no indication so far that that is the case. Mm-hmm. All this talk about Deshaun Watson being traded, which, again, we've had, you've had, everybody's had, has been media-generated, because we can look into the horizon and see what could be out there, whereas the Texans aren't even looking into the horizon. They are living in the moment.
Yeah, so, they're living in the moment, hoping that their phone buzzes with a text from number four saying, let's chat, you know. And so
and that ain't happening.
So let me ask you this, Adam. Has he delivered a list to them that these are the teams I want, because the number of times he'd love to go to the Jets. No, he wouldn't. Yeah. Or he'd love to go to the Dolphins. No, he actually prefers the Broncos. Like, does something like that exist?
You know what's funny? I continue to see reports. Like, the Miami Dolphins are interested in Deshaun Watson. Report. And I think to myself, hold on. Let me spell it out to you right now, Rich.
Yes.
Every team in the NFL with a quarterback question is interested in Deshaun Watson. Breaking news, okay?
Right.
You list the teams. The Jets, the Dolphins, the Panthers, the Niners, the Bears. Everyone with a question is interested in Deshaun Watson. Breaking, okay? We can put that to bed, right? Everybody would love to have him. Everybody. Including the Houston Texans.
So has he delivered a list to them, best you know?
I don't know that.
Okay.
I don't know that.
Okay.
I don't know that they're at that level yet. I don't know how Deshaun and his people have decided to navigate this dance in the coming weeks. At some point, I would think that either Deshaun or his representation would go to the Texans and deliver them in the strongest language possible, "We are never going to play for your organization again. You might want to trade us." And when you say the list of teams, what I've sensed in talking to various people is that the list of teams is not as short as it would be for somebody like Matthew Stafford or even Carson Wentz, who wants to go to Indy. I think Deshaun is pretty wide open on going to a lot of different places, as long as that place is not Houston.
Unbelievable. It's just crazy. Last one for you, Adam, before I let you go, sir. Again, the salary cap is expected to be far less than normal times, normal years, non-COVID, et cetera, so on and so forth. Give me some names that might be surprise cuts, just because, you know, ordinarily, of course, this player would be on the team. Give me somebody that we might hear go, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe that person is now a free agent," with somebody like, say, J.J. Watt. Give me one.
Rich, we could go through every team, and I don't think it's that hard to come up with some of the names, and many teams, multiple teams, have to do. I don't want to just throw out a name. I would just say this, that you are probably looking at one of the biggest, if not the biggest, buyer's market in the history of free agency, because what you're going to see is the elite players get paid, and obviously there's going to be a lot of rookies that are going to be drafted that are on the minimum contracts, and the middle class player, the veteran guy who gets released, I think is going to be in a tough spot because that cap is going to have to come from somewhere, and they're not going to compromise on paying a guy like Dak Prescott or Chris Godwin or the elite of the elite that come along every year, that are the top dozen, 20, two dozen free agents. But that next level, I think it's a very, very tough year to be a free agent. And next year probably will be a tough year to be a free agent. But the goal would be, you want to get to about 2023 and have the new TV money kick in and have the cap skyrocket up. And once that happens, it's going to be a great time to be a free agent.
Oh, boy.
Not going to be a great time to be a free agent this offseason unless you are an elite talent.
All right, I lied. Last minute for you, Adam. The fact that Drew Brees is not retired yet, is there any there that he might actually be going back and forth on this? And
well, here's the thing on Drew Brees. Last year, he went into the Saints at the Pro Bowl, the coaching staff, and they cried because that was his last game, the Pro Bowl. He was retiring, and then he took some time off, and lo and behold, he came back in March. And by the way, if he hadn't come back, I really believe that there's a chance that Tom Brady would have been the Saints quarterback this year, and he would have been playing in New Orleans. But that's a different story. And so he came back. Now, what is going through his mind once he steps away? There are so many players that plan to retire, want to retire, and then to actually get him to retire, it's not a simple thing. And so I'm not telling you he is coming. I still think he will retire, but I don't think these things are just black and white, like he's ready to just go out the door just yet, even though I think ultimately that will be the decision.
Adam, you're the man. Love you. You be well.
Love you, Rich.
Right back
at you. Happy 41.
That's right.
Next time we get to see each other in person, you're spending your royalty check and a cup of coffee from me.
Done. I'll see you soon. You take care, Adam. Take care. You're the man. That's Adam Schefter at Adam Schefter here. Real quick. You imagine Breeze doesn't retire?
Oh, buddy.
I mean.
Could you imagine Breeze does not retire?
So he can throw 10-yard outs all year?
Here he goes.
You. Come on now.
That would give Brockman an entire season's worth of.
Please
come back.
Hold on a second.
Please come back.
Let me pound the table for number nine. Let me just pound the table for number nine.
Please come back.
Please let me pound the table for number nine. Please let me pound the table for number nine.
Pound it.
No, I'll do it right here. We're all just seeing Brady and we're like, this is what 43-year-olds kind of do. And proof that he's more of an outlier, you know, even though I'm just saying that we take Brady for granted, but the fact that he's also still doing it at 43. And look, Breeze, he was being held together by scotch tape turning 41. You know, that's what normally happens. Brady, we take him for granted, but he's also the outlier. Yeah. We have it both ways with Tom. I'm a 51-year-old man. I'm not comparing myself to a high-level National Football League quarterback athlete, even though I kind of am right now. The amount of stretching, honestly, Chris, wait till you hit a certain age.
I already feel it.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, come on.
The fact that Breeze is still doing this at this age is remarkable. And the guy had all those broken ribs. You know he wasn't fully healed coming back.
Yeah, no.
You know he wasn't fully healed coming back, and part of that might be sitting there saying, "I will not go out like this. I can't go out like this." That's why the fact that he hasn't retired yet. Watch, it'll cross the waiver wire in like an hour that he's retiring. But
but he's not going to be able to magically throw it 40 yards again.
I'm just saying, don't think if he comes back, all those memes of him, you know, pushing a brick, that's his 40-yard pass trying to find Michael Thomas, is what Breeze is going to see. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. The greatest drop in the history of the Rich Eisen Show, in my estimation. It's pretty damn funny. What's coming up next?
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
One thing I love about you, Steve, is when you host Family Feud, you realize that there's a moment that is happening and you make a meal out of it. Like, you as a host know we got to stop here and we have to acknowledge just how insane this moment just is right now. And one of my favorite ones just like that involves Stephon Diggs of the Minnesota Vikings. When he was playing for the Fast Money, and it was leave it blank. And he said, in. And the whole place went absolutely nuts. And you just stepped away.
Yeah.
And just made an absolute five-course meal out of that.
Because we have to drink this moment.
Yeah.
See, sir, Stephon Diggs, look, man. If you got your helmet on you, your number, we all know who you are. Once he takes the helmet off, we got to kind of figure who that is. So he didn't have his helmet on. I wanted him to be YouTube famous for the rest of his life. Because what's great, man, are these, you know, we do a lot of NFL, NBA shows on Family Feud for celebrity.
Right.
It's great, man, when regular people discover that celebrities don't know nothing. They don't. You think because a person is famous, they know more. They actually know less.
Yeah.
They know less than anybody else because they're exposed to less. Rich people don't know how much milk costs. You get out of touch, man. And when they come on Celebrity Family Feud, you find out how out of touch they are. They don't know anything, man. Like, one of the questions for the NFL team was, and we were asking a guy running back for the Packers, can't think of his name, but the question was, complete the sentence, strip, and you spoke, you know, like strip mall,
strip
poker.
Strip sack.
Strip sack. I said, name, complete the word strip. He said, purr. Strip purr. I went, hold on, man. I quit breathing. How is that your point of reference to complete the word strip? Purr. P-E-R. That was it. I was done. That was one of my great moments.
And again, you just walk away and you realize it in the moment, like, okay, this is it, and I'm going to let this thing go.
Hey, after the show, he asked me, he said, Steve, is there any way we can edit that out? I said, sir, we're not editing that out. Matter of fact, we're going to embellish it. You're going to say purr so loud. Purr.
Oh, man.
That was just part of a great chat with Steve Harvey at last year's Super Bowl. Go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, for all of our archives. Peacock viewers right here, we welcome you back. We welcome back our radio audience as well. Okay.
Rich, that was January 30th, 2020.
I know. Now here we are.
If you would have known at that point
where we would be
today,
where
we're going, like, would you have done anything differently?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I think I would have attended one or two more parties that I got invited to.
Gone to the movies, maybe?
No, as you know, I'm one of those lead pipe wielding professionals at Super Bowls who don't want to show up on the air. You can always tell members of the NFL media who go out and stay out till 3 in the morning when they say, hey, it's Super Sunday, everybody. Welcome to our show. Like, I will not be that person, ever.
But
probably. No.
Well, even if you knew.
So, hey, guess what, folks? Had a great time as the host of the Bruce Arians Family Foundation charity Zoom on Friday. We talked about it with Bruce before we went on vacation, that he was going to have a Zoom in support of the Arians Family Foundation. 2-hour Zoom, asked me to host it. I'm way in. So it was great. It started off with Arians, in quotes, Frank Caliendo doing Bruce Arians, working blue, phenomenal.
Fantastic.
I mean, everyone knows it was great. It was like 10 minutes before we started the Zoom. We're in the green room going over the run of show, and Caliendo is already in the hat with a tumbler, and Arians shows up in his hat with his tumbler, and Frank starts working blue, and they ask Arians beforehand, like, is it all right if we work blue? I cannot repeat Arians' answer, giving the green light on blue. Okay. It was phenomenal. Just great. And then halfway through, diehard Arizona Cardinals fan and Arians' friend, Blake Shelton, shows up.
Okay.
And he's got his guitar, and he's about to sing a song. And sure enough, Blake Shelton, before he sings his song, says, I just want to say something to you, Rich. Okay. What do you want to say? He proceeds to say, now, call this a humble brag or what, I'm just telling you the story. He proceeds to say, not only does he watch NFL Network, but he listens to this show on Sirius XM every day.
Blake Shelton
is what he says. Sirius XM, Channel 211, NBC Sports Audio.
What's up, Blake?
Okay, Blake, say hi to Blake. Go ahead,
big,
say
hi. How you doing, Blake, man?
What up,
man?
Say hi to Blake Shelton.
It's cracking, G.
Okay. Yeah. And he says, and he listens and he hears how we do our business, and he's come up with a jingle for the show.
What?
Wait.
Blake Shelton.
Fact.
What?
Fact. I'm like, okay. Go ahead and what do you got? Roll tape.
You ready for this? Here we go. When it comes to football, he sure is a wise'un. Rich Eisen.
All right, let me just, do you want to describe for the radio audience what I'm doing right now, Chris?
He's just turning around.
Turning my chair. I want you, Blake Shelton.
Wow.
Now, when he says he's going to sing the jingle, I immediately start trying to hit record on the Zoom. Oh. But I'm not the host, so I can't record it.
That's right.
So after he does that, I'm start texting all the people in charge. Like,
did anyone else record
Brandon and Steve
that?
Webster and all those folks in charge. I'm like, tell me you got this. 10 minutes later, it comes back while Blake's still on the Zoom. We didn't roll on it. So what you see right there, I flat out asked him again.
Take two.
Because as you know, I have no shame.
None.
You have zero.
So from now on, if anybody wants to come at me about my football knowledge, all I have to say is this.
You ready for this? There we go. When it comes to football, he sure is a wise'un. Rich Eisen.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Blake Shelton.
Who then admitted it's tough to rhyme with Eisen, is what he said.
You know? Yeah.
Was the word wise'un?
That's what he said.
Yeah, wise'un.
Doesn't matter. It's Blake Shelton.
Yeah, Blake, what's up, man? Good to see you, buddy.
Hey,
how you doing, man?
Hey,
what's up, man? Good to hear from you.
We should just say hi to Blake once every hour.
Every segment, let's say hi to Blake.
Oh, trust me, we're going to be hearing that a lot. And everybody, you're going to donate to ArianSFamilyFoundation.com and learn more.